Life after Dak Prescott for the Dallas Cowboys could be coming into clearer view. Hey, welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. We got a state of the Cowboys yesterday from Jerry Jones. I'll give you the cliff notes. It was long. It was meandering. It was hard to understand. But when it came to Dak Prescott, it was, oh, we love Dak. We love Dak. But we know that we can't always get what we want, and we might not be able to sign everybody to a contract, and it feels like he would be the odd guy out.
Well, Jerry sent contradictory messages, because he did say, I think Dak's going to be here a long time, but you're right. Then he did say this, hey, I can't always get what I want. And then Dak, to complete the story, said, hey, I can, other great quarterbacks have gone other places. I can basically picture myself elsewhere. So my question for you is, and I'm having trouble figuring this out, is this negotiating going on right now? Because in the past, the Cowboys have had a lot of contract situations, and most often it gets resolved,
right,
and they do sign these guys. I don't think this is just a normal Zach Martin, Ezekiel Elliott, DeMarcus Lawrence, like a guy wants a big money and he's going to get him. I think this is really happening. I think Dak's going to be playing on his final year. And again, I could be wrong. Jerry did say he wants him long term, but the way they're both sort of circling around each other,
right,
feels like this could really happen. We could go into this season without a contract for Dak.
Well, let's tell you and illustrate this a little bit. So we will give you a little Jerry. Let's do cut 22, please, Pete, where Jerry Jones did say, this is how the answer to the Dak Prescott question started, and then we'll tell you how it ended. So here's how it started when he said this won't be Dak's last year with the Cowboys.
I do not think that this will be his last year with the Cowboys at all. It's pretty clear, I think. I want to say it, if it hadn't been clear, of how much we appreciate what Dak Prescott has meant to this team in a positive way.
Okay, so that was the first half of the answer. The second half of the answer, this is all the same answer, because, you know, Jerry can kind of go on and on, where he uses an analogy saying, listen, I want him, but I don't always get what I want.
Believe it or not, in my life, I've had a lot of things I wanted that I couldn't get because I couldn't afford it. Now, have I learned to live with that in 80-something years? You bet I have, and life does go on. And sometimes when you get a bump like that, you turn around and do better than you would have had you got what you wanted.
Ooh.
I mean, else are you supposed to take away from that, yeah, besides this could be a blessing in disguise that we can't afford Dak Prescott?
Right. Then we get to start over with a rookie. You know, he was there when Tony Romo hurt his back and he found Dak Prescott. I think in the back of his mind, he thinks he can do it again.
So Stephen Jones also weighing in on the sort of big three, if you will, of Dak, CeeDee Lamb, and Micah Parsons. These are three guys that in theory the Cowboys would all like to sign, but Jones says that both Parsons and CeeDee Lamb want to be the highest paid non-quarterbacks.
Both of them, rightfully so, believe they should be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league, and totally respect that. So very difficult situations that we're trying to work through with them.
Right. I mean, listen, if I was their agents, I'd be saying that kind of stuff, too. And to be honest, the Cowboys really have only themselves to blame here, in my opinion, because if these guys want to be paid, Lamb and Parsons want to be the highest non-paid quarterbacks in the league, highest paid non-quarterbacks in the league. Well, that price was different 6 months ago than it is now. Maybe not so much for Parsons, but I'm saying for Lamb. They've been working on this for a while. You had time where you would have reset the market, and then Justin Jefferson would have reset it after you. Or you could have, you know, reset. You didn't have, like, this could have been avoided is what I'm trying to get at.
I know. But
they took their sweet time.
Here's where we are now, though. It's a sunk cost in the sense that it could have been avoided, but now it can't be avoided. So, I mean, Micah Parsons will be the highest paid defensive end. He's up. I think there's no doubt about that. Now, CeeDee Lamb, I think Justin Jefferson deserves more money. I would think the Cowboys could call CeeDee and say, hey, instead of 35, can you take 33? And I'm sure CeeDee, it sounds like CeeDee is like, no, I want 35. I want 36. But, yeah, I understand what's going on here. I think they pay Micah. They negotiate hard with CeeDee because I think they can afford to lose him. And then I think that they're getting tired of Dak. I really do believe that. Like, if Dak doesn't win this year, then they think he's never going to win.
We put a poll out for you on X, the non-hacked account. That would be Maggie and Pearl. hasn't been hacked. I should probably knock on wood. Perloff's account got hacked this morning. We're working that out. He's going to be fine. This is the non-hacked account. And we asked, if you are the Dallas Cowboys, who are you paying if you can only pick one? Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, or Micah Parsons? And right now, it's overwhelmingly Parsons at 54%. The other two are splitting 20 in the low 20s. I think this is all wrong, guys. I'm going to respectfully disagree with all of you, which is Dak Prescott is actually the most important person that they re-sign. The most. You have nothing if you don't have a quarterback. And how
I
many
so
teams...
disagree with you, though. There's one Super Bowl player on that list, and it ain't Dak Prescott, and it ain't CeeDee Lamb.
Okay, well, nobody thought that Matthew Stafford was a Super Bowl winning guy until he went somewhere else.
Okay. Dak could win somewhere else. He's not winning a Super Bowl in Dallas.
But here's the thing. Matthew Stafford was still a great quarterback when he was in Detroit. It wasn't because he wasn't good.
Right.
And it's not, and the Cowboys not winning the Super Bowl is not because Dak's not good. You can say that he didn't have a good game against the Packers. I will grant you. Show me the person who did have a good game against the Packers. That was a complete failure on every level for the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. For Dak only to wear that is silly. We all know that that would be unfair. He's a runner-up for the MVP.
Yep.
How many teams turn their back on that? It just, be careful what you wish for. You're gonna find out that life on the other side without Dak Prescott is not going to be as rosy, and this grass might not be as green.
Well, you said Detroit. Matthew Stafford was like Dak. Life after Matthew Stafford has been fantastic in Detroit because of all the goodies they got in return for training Matthew Stafford. Life was good for Stafford. He needed to go to L.A. Life was good for Detroit. They needed to move on. They got rid of a really good quarterback and got better.
How and who thought Jared Goff was actually going to have this renaissance? That is,
it's not even about Goff. It's about all the other guys they got. I just pulled up the trade. They got Sam Laporta,
right?
Arguably the best tight end in football right now. Jahmyr Gibbs, I think the best running back in football. Jameson Williams has not really worked out. The former Alabama receiver. They got Goff, so they got everything out of this deal, and now they're third in odds to win the Super Bowl next year.
And what would be the big difference if the Cowboys are moving on from Prescott than the way the Lions moved on from Stafford? He's walking out the door. You're not trading him.
You're not even
getting a possibility with Jared Goff, which felt like a lottery ticket at the time. And oh, by the way, don't forget, the Lions went 3-13 with that first year with Goff. Like, you had to sit. That was an immediate payoff. They really believe in Dan Campbell. They really stayed the course with Goff. I'm just saying, be careful here, and let's not forget everything we know about this league, which is that the quarterback's the most important position. But sure, what is Micah Parsons going to do when you're down three scores? What? He's going to do what? He can't affect the game like that if the Cowboys are down. The only player that does that is Dak.
Let's look at some recent Super Bowls. 2015, who won that Super Bowl for the Broncos? Was it Peyton Manning? No, it was your guy, Von Miller.
Yeah.
Who won that 2021 Super Bowl, Rams-Bengals? Was it Matthew Stafford? No. That was one player took the team on his back in the fourth quarter and said, we are not losing. His name was Aaron Donald. You can win. Micah Parsons is unique. Nick Bosa. The Niners, you said a lot, like, do they need Purdy? Maybe, but they definitely need Bosa. When Bosa's not on the field, they stink. So they don't stink, but they go way down. The year he got hurt was a really bad year. So I disagree. I think these great defensive players are rare, and they can win Super Bowls. And Micah is in that category. I mean, he's one of the top three defensive players in the league consistently. He's the guy you got to sign.
855-212-4227. So there you go. That's the question today. If you could only sign one, is it Dak? Is it CeeDee? Is it Micah? Let's go to our pal Braden is in Colorado. What's up, Braden?
Morning. How y'all doing?
We're awesome. How are you?
Doing good. Hey, just wanted a couple things real quick. I'll answer your question first.
Sure.
I think out of the three, it's Micah Parsons for a lot of the reasons, you know, Perloff was just talking about, but even a few more, like, you know, you got a piece like that. There's no more Micah Parsons walking around. And to be honest with you, there's no combination of two that bring what Micah does to the Cowboys. So that's the piece on the defensive side. You build the ball. You know, you build around. You know, you can have a good quarterback, even a great quarterback, and there's still going to be some pieces required around on the offensive side. Obviously, makes it a little tougher to do when you're paying $46, $47, $50 million a year. So, look, out of those three, not saying Dak's doesn't deserve it. Not saying CD doesn't deserve it, but if you're choosing one of the three, it's going to be Micah.
I totally agree. You know, you got to do, thank you, Braden. You got to do wins above replacement is a analytic.
Baseball term, yeah.
Right. So the question is, can you find another Dak? It's going to be really hard, but maybe. Can you find another CeeDee Lamb? Going to be really hard, but maybe. You're not going to find another Micah Parsons. So you invest in him, and then you try and find another quarterback because there are no more Micah Parsons.
Okay. I would just ask, if you're a Pittsburgh Steelers fan and you're listening to this and you have an all-time grade in TJ Watt,
yes.
And where have you gone because you've got no quarterback? You cannot win a playoff game. And I'll ask, if you are a Raider fan and you're listening to this and you have Devontae Adams, but you don't have a good quarterback, where are you going?
I would go with Max Crosby in that analogy.
Okay,
but yeah.
Or Max Crosby. Right. Let's say that. You have Max Crosby. Where are you going? You're not going anywhere.
If you're the Dallas Cowboys and you have Dak Prescott, a quarterback, where are you going?
I know at least I'm a playoff team. I know that. At the minimum, I'm a 12-win playoff team. And, you know, again, to saddle Dak with all these losses, like he's the one out there throwing five picks in a playoff game, is just not true.
This team is overdue a rebuild. Let's be honest. I mean, they've never really done a full rebuild. Because they're the Dallas Cowboys, and they're on TV every single game. Like,
yeah.
They generally, I mean, might be time to think differently there. That's all I'm saying. I'm a fan of Dak Prescott. He's a very good quarterback, but this might not be the situation for him or for the team.
All right. They're going to run things differently in Dallas.
Oh, is that where you're laughing?
Yeah, I'm laughing. Who, Jer? Finally, the guy who says, like, you know, some days I'm a riverboat gambler and the other days it looks like I'm protecting the National Vault.
I mean,
whatever way the wind's blowing, Jer.
Well, listen, there are obviously some smart people there. Will McClay, and I think Steven has done some smart things. So, you know, they made a lot of good draft picks, and Jerry, at this point, maybe he's not really the GM, Maggie. Have you ever thought about that? Maybe it's just symbolic.
Oh, my gosh. So here's Jerry yesterday. This is underscores. Cowboy fans, you might want to close your ears for this one on his tolerance for ambiguity.
We've got a lot of ambiguity in the team. I have ambiguity everywhere in the things that I look at and do. And so maybe the best thing that I ever, that God gave me was a tolerance for ambiguity.
That's leadership right there. What's the vision? I don't know. It's foggy. A lot of ambiguity. What direction are we going? Not sure. Ambiguity, but I'm cool with it. So everyone else has to be.
Well, I mean, he's consistent. He's on message because he's saying one thing out of one side of his mouth, another thing on the other side of his mouth, and three other things in the middle of his mouth. You know what your problem is?
What's that?
You're trying to make sense of Jerry Jones.
How dare I?
Yeah, what are you doing here?
Silly me. At Maggie and Pearl on X is where you can go vote. If they can only pay one, who should it be? The Cowboys, that is. Dak Prescott, Micah Parsons, C.D. Lamb. Okay, coming up, we've got more non-contract training camp stuff for you. Actual football. We'll get to more of that next. A lot going on around here. Unexpected turbulence this morning with Perloff's social media account getting hacked by nefarious ne'er-do-wells. Ne'er-do-wells? Whatever.
Yeah, I'm actually impressed that he's still here and has any modicum of concentration, which is not a strong suit, for being honest.
Because the people who are sending me notes saying, did you get hacked? Or, no, they're not important people in the industry. Like, whatever.
As a 60 Minutes this correspondent, John Wertheim, is like, are you okay? Blink twice if you're being held hostage by
awful.
Musk.
This is awful.
I'm sorry. You're going to be fine, though. It's all going to get worked out. Mm,
Caitlin Clark's giggling somewhere about actually getting forearmed by Holy Cross Girl.
Is all payback from Caitlin
slow
Clark's
play
people.
Karma. She's on vacation and you're sitting here in X hell.
Can we be honest? This is really terrible. Like, I don't know if they're going to be able to recover it. And they said they were going to put a stop. Oh, my God.
Okay, but here's the thing. So we've identified that you got a bad link from John Rothstein, the college basketball insider.
Stay
you're
humble.
Not, what's that? Stay humble. Stay hungry. Where would we be without John? You're not blaming Rothstein. Like, you're not holding it against him. He got hacked. Now you got hacked. Just like John Wertheim, 60 Minutes correspondent and friend, is not holding it against you. That it's just, you just got unlucky. It's like hitting a bad like anti-roulette.
I'm very flat. I mean, I have huge respect for John Rothstein. Nobody in this industry works harder. He's so smart and interesting. Like, I'm actually a bit honored to have clicked on. But I don't think people necessarily have the same reaction to me.
You're honored that you got hacked by John Rothstein's
account. Oh, my God.
It's been an honor and a pleasure.
Yeah. Oh, my God. This is so awful.
Perloff is descending into madness.
A different note. They sent out these. Oh, God.
Meanwhile, me and Maggie have gotten nothing. We follow both you and John. So are they value judging us, Maggie, that we're not important enough to try and get into this web of hacking?
I don't think we have enough followers. Wow. This is for the 100K plus crowd. Please tell me you got that.
Oh, we're getting that.
There you go. Hey, can I tell you something? Things could be a lot worse. Did you see the story about the two astronauts who went up to space thinking
and never
they were,
came back?
No, they were going to be there for 8 days. So you basically pack for an 8-day trip. It's been 45 days. Right. There's been these leaks, like helium leaks. It's something that has to do with Boeing, obviously. That disaster that never stops because of all the Boeing situation. Meanwhile, they're not just making airplanes. They're making spacecraft. And now these two people, this man and a woman who thought they were going to be together for 8 days, have been there for like months. And it could be even longer until they get home.
Because the ship is not sturdy enough to survive the return?
Apparently there's like some leaks, some helium leaks that they didn't identify before. So if they re-enter the atmosphere, they could just burn to a crisp.
Roll the
dice.
I don't
know much about space travel, but I will say if you're leaving the atmosphere, I think you're packed for a couple of extra weeks.
Are you sure? How many spacesuits can fit into one suitcase?
I mean, this is not going down to, you know, driving down to, you know, Delaware to see your grandpa. I mean, this is, you're leaving the atmosphere. You don't know what's going to happen.
How many pairs of underwear do you think someone packs for an 8-day trip and then it turns into 45 days? Can you do laundry in space? I doubt it.
You got to be able to do laundry in space, right?
Who cares about laundry? How are they eating? Did they have enough rations for this?
You know, it didn't cross my mind. I was too hung up on the underwear. I didn't really think about it. Don't you have to, like, do you have to wear a diaper at night? I have no idea how you go to the bathroom in space. It's something about a vacuum, I think. But anyway, I just,
yikes.
This is rough. Also, what if you didn't like the person? And it's like, well, I can tolerate him for a week and a half. And it's like, nope, now it's 42 days. There's going to be
No, I'm signing up. Give me all the drama. I'm not rooting for breaking up families, but imagine if they come out of this and they're like completely in love.
Also,
could be. I don't know.
What if you have a stomach issue in space?
Another great question. Again, how do you go to the bathroom in space? No clue. Again, I do think it's something to do with a vacuum. But I'm not sure.
But again, they're going to be there for 8 days. They were going to go to the bathroom in space. That's not the problem. The problem is how are they going to survive being there for 10 times longer than they thought?
Astronaut ice cream?
You
that
can
stuff's
going to
get real old.
I mean, you don't want to smell nice while you starve to death.
I just feel like you have to pack way more than you normally would. Like I just don't think you're treating this like Maggie going to Lake Michigan.
I just lost a suitcase for four days.
For months.
It was a disaster. I mean, I had to go to the dollar store and get all new stuff. I can't do that in
like
space.
This, I'm a little worried about this show because I have this torn patella tendon. Then you had this terrible travel, and then Perloff has this hacking.
Oh,
I think Bogus and Pete, be very careful about how you guys move.
No, Perloff has a theory for why the vibes have been
know what's going on here. Good dear friend of everybody here, Stu Gatz from the Lebertard Show with Stu Gatz is in the building this week. He's co-hosting the morning show for WFAN. I've been hanging out with him all week. Just the energy of Stu Gatz has caused nothing but trouble. First of all, me and him were walking on the street the other day. I almost got hit by a car.
What?
Total, because
he pushed you into the road?
No. Honestly, because he's quite entertaining, and I was looking at him as we were talking and walked in. There was no car, so I walked in the middle of the street. Then someone flies out of nowhere. I did go against the light. But
how you make it through a day sometimes is
I was fine before Stu Gatz got here. Now that Stu Gatz energy is rubbing off. So, of course, honestly, I don't even know. I don't know. Oh, I'm so upset right now because a lot of people are sending me, I got this note from you, and they're going to do the same thing I did, and I just feel bad for them. Do not.
You're a super spreader.
You get a DM from me, do not click on it. That is all. Anybody out there?
Got that, America? Don't click on anything from Perloff.
So, Maggie, you should send out it. Can you send out a note? Don't click on anything from my friend, but don't put my Twitter name because it doesn't exist.
They're going to think it's a bit.
Oh, it's back.
Everyone stop it following
Your name is back.
Oh, what? It's back.
Your name is back, but it's still retweeting X data.
Help.
What do you mean?
I'm like, sure they'll get right on it.
Is it interesting X data?
It's a bunch of politics. So snoozer.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yeah. As if this morning couldn't get any worse.
Oh yeah, there you are.
What did I say?
At least you can be found again, but you've got no profile picture. Yeah, so you should definitely talk smack to people.
Got the egg?
No, there's no egg. I wish the egg was there.
Oh, a lot of people watched the Republican National Convention this weekend.
Elon ruined everything.
Women's sports is buzzing.
Well, I'm fine with that. What else did I say?
The scale of global conversation on X was staggering about the last presidential debate. In the first 4 days of Euro 2024, the conversation on X generated 5.5 billion impressions.
Oh, you're now just a Twitter PR account.
Perloff reposted, Perloff reposted.
No, I just went and I have some of my most popular tweets, which is interesting to me.
What's your most popular tweet?
Mustard.
There's two.
Does Matthew, mustard go bad?
Matthew Tkachuk saving a goal at the end of, I think, game 5 of the Stanley Cup final this year. It's the most incredible play ever. And Adam Gase, when he was a Jets coach, ripping smelling salts before a preseason game. Those are the two most viral, of course.
You know what? Yeah. I mean, how did I not guess that?
That was not an elbow.
The last Perloff post that looks like an actual Perloff post is the Athlon Aaron Rodgers.
Oh, yeah. That's a good article.
That you had. That's from 11 hours.
Oh, here's one of me. This is amazing. Here's me dressed as Andy Reid with a foggy mask for Halloween in 2021.
It's like walking down memory lane. Can I ask you guys a question about those smelling salts? Has anyone ever done them?
No.
No.
Are you curious?
Yes.
Me too. Super curious.
I'm scared.
Why? What, are you going to freeze your brain?
Yeah. I was scared to go under for surgery. I don't want to take anything.
That's normal. I don't know.
Normal? Really?
Yeah, to be scared for.
I'm scared of all drugs. The doctor told me I was going to take a Percocet like for my knee, and you should have seen my face. And Andrea, my fiance, is like, "You'll be fine. Get over it." I'm scared of all drugs, substances, I don't want any of this.
All the messaging worked on EJ.
Seriously, yeah. That DARE briefcase.
Yeah, I was going to say DARE program really got you.
Seriously, thank my Gen X dad.
And EJ, you don't really drink much either.
No, I don't do anything. I really don't.
You play much. Video games.
I play Marvel. EA college football for 12 hours, and the rest of it is spent watching Marvel movies.
Wait. I think that we have found our next bet.
What? He has to do a shot or something?
No. Not that. Smelling salts. Whoever loses has to rip a smelling salt like Adam Gase.
Sure.
Can't be that bad. Right.
Sure. I mean, I drink about 47 cups of coffee a day. It might have a similar effect.
Hey, speaking of bets, real quick, let's go back to another bet that we canceled.
I know what you're talking about.
We know we canceled the gassers for EJ, obviously, because he's hurt.
Yes.
But there has to be something else in place of that. Now, I'm not saying go run a 50-yard dash or anything like that. I'm saying something else has to be put in place for that.
Okay.
He and I get drunk at a 10-year-old baseball game.
And one half of that bet's already been paid off. Bogus did it last night. You're up, EJ.
I'm not playing center field. I only got one knee. But I can do the drinking part, maybe. I agree. I'm not dunking. And I've had people on X also like coming at me like, oh, you didn't pay. My knee imploded, dude. What do you want from me?
It was bad.
I had no problem. You guys saw me run for, 10 seconds. But, I have no problem running. I had no problem doing the bet. It's just I can't do it now.
Yeah.
But
you were fine.
I don't do anything else.
You were fine going station to station.
When you look up dodging a bullet in the dictionary, it's EJ not getting injured running those gassers at a Maggie and Perloff show bet.
Exactly.
Dodging a bullet in terms of legalese of this show.
That would not be good.
Guys, you don't understand. I've been thinking about that. I'm like, if I didn't play kickball and then my first time running on turf like that would have been this bet that would have been videotaped. I mean, that would have been the most embarrassing moment of my entire life. And a terrible thing for the show. I'm glad this happened in this way, not on the show.
I got to be honest. I mean, you're looking at this all wrong. Yes, it would have been terrible for the show. Perloff and I likely would never work again, but you'd be rich.
No, no, let's not even talk about this. Okay,
because we do show rats.
Okay,
like we have to. We get in trouble with management enough already on these things.
Maybe I wonder how they'll feel about the smelling salts one. Yeah. Let's go.
Go for that.
Right up your brain. All right, we'll think about that. EJ should have to do something.
Swimming in Odyssey coins, EJ, after getting hurt during a bit and suing the company.
Backstroking through all of your Odyssey bucks.
Oh, look, a mug.
I'll have a ski cap and a backpack and socks.
Easy. Easy. Not too much. what's up? We got headlines.
EJ just mentioned this. Last Friday was the tech out. It was at Maggie in the airport for 12 hours. This Friday, it's the Twitter hack. In between, we've had vandals targeting France's train system today on the day of the opening ceremonies in Paris. These folks set strategic fires around the system to disrupt service to the extent that people are being told to not even bother going to the station. Repairs might be done, not be done until the end of the weekend.
Oh,
so,
my goodness.
Is this terrorism? Like, what is this?
I mean, is it, I guess it's technically terrorism, but it's not like a terrorist group is trying.
Anyone claim it?
It was meant to handcuff the system. It was not meant to hurt anybody, but it was meant to not let the trains travel. And apparently they did it from the east, the west, and the north, the three biggest like surrounding areas to get to Paris where you can't get out of there to get into Paris to see the opening ceremony.
That's far from like just a joke or something.
No,
it was a coordinated attack.
Did they say who did it? I'm sorry.
I don't know that a group has said that, hey, that was us. But it was definitely planned and a large scale thing.
This might be a long 2 weeks.
Yeah, you're right.
I saw a Jeremy Schapp report from ESPN. He said he's been to many Olympics. He's never seen security like this. He said that they're terrified.
Yes.
Also, the way the opening ceremony is going down the Seine. It's not in a stadium. It's going through the whole city. Guys are going to be on boats, so it's such a large area to cover and to secure.
And it hasn't.
I was there last month, and I mean, the security was already in place. I mean, you can't go to the Eiffel Tower. Me and my fiance tried to go to the Eiffel Tower, and it's like a full, like not even a gate. It's almost like a wall around the Eiffel Tower, and it's like metal detectors, it's dogs. Like, this was a month before, so I can't even imagine what it's like now.
And it hasn't even technically started yet, and we've had this. We've had the Canadian women's soccer thing. We've had some weird, like, IOC fighting with the countries over the World Anti-Doping Agency.
China, yeah, the China swimmers.
Right, and I've seen things now that the athletes are complaining about. There's not enough food in the village. The busing system is not working to venues, and the games haven't even technically started yet.
Wait, but has Bob Costas gotten pink eye yet?
It's still early for that.
I had forgot about that. That was crazy.
No farting on pillows.
My goodness, that was. I think that was the only thing I remember about that Olympics.
Do you guys remember when I had pink eye like 2 months ago and pretended I didn't?
Yeah,
it was annoying.
Great time.
Looks like you have pink eye. You're like, no.
Actually, full disclosure, I disclosed to Maggie. I'm like, I'm pretty sure I have pink eye, but I'm not gonna tell any of the other guys.
And I was like, eh.
Oh, we knew and we judged you.
Yep, there you are. Oh, that's your bloody face that Kaplan has.
Oh. Yeah, that's...
Gosh, it's just been a real... All these maladies.
Well, how did he find that?
Is that stung by a bee in your face? I feel like something's... What's with that eye?
Oh, yeah, you got stung by a bee on your face. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. That was on my...
Like last week.
That turned out to be fine. That's when I got...
It turned out to not be Stu Gatz's fault, is what we're learning here.
Yeah,
You've been in a bad rut for a while.
That was 2 years ago. 14 stitches above my eye from a basketball injury. Tried to steal the ball from Danny. Damn, Danny.
How's your knee, by the way?
Oh, terrible.
Did Stu Gatz do that too?
I don't know. I have to go to PT after for 6 months in a row for my skiing accident.
I mean, what's Danny? Was it Manning? Who did you try to steal the ball from?
Danny Greenberg? I don't know.
I didn't even say Danny Patrick.
Well, first of all, no. Okay. EJ sitting up there with a torn up knee. You took 72 hours to get to Michigan.
Yeah.
Like, who's had the worst... First of all, Stu Gatz is causing all this by being two studios down. But who's had the worst luck over the last 2 weeks?
Bogish went on vacation to a baseball tournament. Yeah. They didn't play a game.
Yeah. Yes.
that was crazy, too.
Pete Bilotti, you have any bad luck? recently?
Let's go back to the
anything birth. Let's
go back. When's your birthday again?
Let's go back to the fall of 2013.
The divorce papers the ink was barely dry.
Saying I do the first time.
Then you're walking down the aisle and your body, you actually left your body.
Right.
You hovered over yourself looking down like, don't do it.
I was dead for 8 months. And then, then in June of 20, well, can we continue?
Yeah.
Keep going.
I just wish I had like a large scroll of paper to dramatically unfurl with all of the stories.
Hear ye, annulment.
Yada, yada, yada. You're doing great now.
Yeah.
Where's the bell? Someone ding the bell.
Oh, my gosh. Where are the bells?
Yeah, Pete, get the trivia out. Someone got a bell?
I forgot. The bell's in the office. I didn't bring it
out. No, I brought the bell over.
Oh, you did.
Bo just dinged it.
There we go.
All right, here we go.
Starting when I had hair.
Right. 1996.
Great year for hip-hop.
Third grade.
Who has the nickname Primetime?
Hey, ding, ding, ding.
That's Maggie.
Dion. Where's our... Sanders.
Got it. Fair question, yeah.
Dion Branch.
Yeah.
One more?
We haven't done a daily Dion in a minute.
In 2020, this wide receiver broke the record for most consecutive 1,000-yard seasons. Who is it?
What was it?
Mike Evans? No.
Yes.
Yeah.
You are correct. Yep. Perloff.
Wow, that was back in 2020? Okay.
One more? Okay.
Good things come in threes.
Damn it. Who was the first African-American player to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame?
Jim Brown?
No.
Oh. Madsen? Ollie Madsen?
No.
Oh.
Who is it?
Emil Tumman.
Would not have guessed that.
Okay, one more.
Turtles beg hipsters is an... I don't like this question. Hang on.
Okay.
I need to...
What?
Turtles bag
don't
hipsters?
Turtle bay hipsters. Who knows where that was going?
All right. How long is an official NFL football field, including end zones?
Oh.
120 yards.
No, you don't say things out loud.
I tapped.
I was gonna say 120. 110 for intended.
All right, you guys split the answer.
Split the point.
What about Canada? How far is that?
More wide, isn't it?
No, it's the end zone's longer.
We're talking NFL.
All right. Fair enough.
There we go. And that's the trivia. And that's that. We'll get to the rest of it next hour, Boog. Coming up, one young stud quarterback making a big return. I'll tell you about it next.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Man, one of the quarterbacks that I'm just so fascinated by heading into the season, Perloff, has got to be Anthony Richardson.
Yep.
I mean, the four games that he played in, the team was only 2-2. He barely completed 60% of his passes, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. But if you were watching, he like has something, you know, he really does. This is not a guy who played a lot of college football. So you were wondering, what could he show in the NFL level? It's electrifying. It's just, can it be like harnessed almost to create an actual, like a great quarterback? But it is exciting to watch.
Oh, yeah. We both saw this video of him running out onto the field yesterday, and it's like, oh, man, that guy just looks like he is a superior football player in every way. He's got
the evolution of like Cam to Josh Allen, now to Anthony Richardson.
Right. He's like Josh Allen. He throws the ball 25 yards downfield on a rope, and it's like looks perfect. Now, you're right. He does not have a lot of evidence in games that he can do this, so they want him to play. But the question is, can he stay healthy?
So here was Shane Steichen, the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts, rejecting the notion that the Colts will limit Anthony Richardson's runs.
You know, people ask this too a lot. It's just like, hey, how are you going to limit the run game? And I kind of think like, shoot, are you going to limit Steph Curry from, you know, shooting three-pointers? Well, that's one of Anthony's strengths, right? So we're not going to, you know, get away from that. That's what he does well.
Yeah, fun analogy, but there's no linebacker coming over the middle to take out Steph Curry's knees when he's shooting three. So the risk is not nearly the same, but I do get it, Perloff. And as somebody who roots for a quarterback in Josh Allen, my team, the Buffalo Bills, you have to sort of accept that this is what makes the quarterback special, and you can't just be living in fear all the time, because the Bills have tried to do this 100 different ways. They're going to, you know, limit him running the first three quarters of the game and then sort of unleash him in the fourth quarter, trying to keep him healthy. It's you have something that's unique about your quarterback, which is they can run and they are physical and can use that physicality in their favor. I think I'm with Coach Steichen here. You have to just let them be who they are.
Okay, it's weird to me that Josh Allen has never gotten hurt doing this, because Cam Newton, like Anthony Richardson, was this huge target. And eventually, it didn't take long after that Super Bowl year. Remember they played the Denver Broncos, I think, in week one the following year, and the Broncos are just like, we're going to hit him on every play as hard as we can, and we're going to try and take him out of the game. And that's what the team started doing. So I think the strategy, because I watched a lot of Anthony Richardson last year, it wasn't just that shoulder injury at the end. Like, he was getting...
Yeah, he was.
He was going in and out of the lineup. I think there was a knee. Like, I thought to myself, wow, he has to slow down. The way... There are certain quarterbacks who know how to get hit. Lamar Jackson is great at avoiding big hits. Robert Griffin Jr. III, as I famously called him, was not great at doing it. And he couldn't slide. So I think you have to be careful. At least teach him how to avoid the big hits.
No doubt. And that hopefully will come. I guess I'm just not in favor of eliminating something that really can be a benefit, right? It's like, you know... But on the flip side, I see what you're saying. Lamar Jackson actually did not run nearly as much this year as he did last year. They had the number one seed in the AFC and had home field advantage throughout the playoffs and probably should have been in the Super Bowl. But
right, anyway. And then he unleashed it in the divisional round against the Texans, and it was awesome. It was. So you could pull it when you need it.
Here's a question for you. As I'm saying that the Colts need to just let Anthony Richardson sort of, still develop the guy. Like, he is a project. He always was going to be a project. But don't take away the thing that does make him special, which is the ability to run. I'm going to say that in one sentence. Then I'm going to say this. If he gets hurt again this year, and let's say he played four games last year. Say he only plays three or four games this year, Pearl. Do the Colts have to actually think about finding a new quarterback?
What are you doing?
I know. We're odd in Indianapolis. Unfair.
What are you? He just started. The kid's 23 years old.
Okay.
You're already ready to move on?
No, I'm just saying, if he gets hurt the first 2 years.
I don't think it matters. I don't
think. You're now 2 years into the rookie deal. And I hate to make this about money and all of that, but I guarantee the front office is going to make it about this. So then you have to decide on the fifth year option after one season. Okay, maybe you pick that up. Maybe it's a good year. So now you're paying him off of how many games? Like, you're just not, if he gets hurt this year and he doesn't play a lot, you're going to have very little to go on when it becomes time to make a major investment. By the time Anthony Richardson's ready for a contract, what do you think the average is going to be? He's going to be making $70 million a year.
Well, you have to at least wait till after his third year, first of all. So he's not even up. He's, by the way, just turned 22. He's not even 23. I think that's ridiculous to even think about. We haven't even seen this guy play. Do you remember what did young Joel Embiid do for the Philadelphia 76ers? He didn't even play his first 2 years, and he became an MVP. I know it's a totally different sport, but I think that's doesn't make it. I don't think that's fair to bring that up right now.
I'm just saying, if he can't show an ability to stay healthy, look at Tua was playing for his NFL life this year, you know, and that was because of concussions. It was something totally different and super scary. But if Tua had missed games this year, you don't think Miami would be thinking about moving on?
It's
just about the durability of the quarterback. It's not an indictment on the person, on the player. It's an indictment on, I think I have a franchise guy, but he's never available.
Yeah, but don't you see the difference between Tua and Anthony Richardson?
Right, but whether it's a concussion or whether it's a knee, you're missing time. The long-term effects are way different, clearly. I'm not being callous about that.
No, it's
just saying, for your purposes as a Colts owner, fan, front office, he's missing games.
Yeah, I don't think it's the same. Because if Tua was 6'4", 220, and we wouldn't be as worried about concussions. We're worried about Tua because he's small.
Right.
Same reason we're worried about Bryce Young. Same reason we're kind of worried about Kyler Murray. I think Anthony Richardson is totally different. So I don't think you can compare the two. I understand what you're saying. It'd be frustrating. But, I mean, first of all, let's hope he doesn't get injured. There's no guarantee he will. I think that's why, getting back to this, like, you have to have him run less. Run in the fourth quarter. Don't run early in the game. Get rid of the ball.
855-212-4227. Your thoughts on, can you, like, harness a guy? As Shane Steichen said, you wouldn't let Steph Curry, you know, prevent him from shooting threes. There is something that makes Anthony Richardson special. Why they drafted him fourth overall was not just about his arm. It was about his ability to run.
They also said, Shane Steichen said, watch out for Jonathan Taylor this season. They are going to feed him the ball. Again, we already forgot. Like, he's just about the best running back in the NFL. So I think you game plan around this issue. You are not going to want Anthony Richardson out in the flat a lot taking hits. I mean, I'm sorry, you're right. You don't want to take away a guy's biggest weapon, but you just paint a scenario that really is not good, where you get 2 years into Anthony Richardson and you have no idea. It happened with San Francisco and Trey Lance, and they moved on really fast, but it's different because they had Brock Purdy. I'm not sure. The Colts are not going to use a first-round pick on a quarterback next year. Especially next year is not a great quarterback draft. And even if Anthony Richardson's hurt, they were 500 last year. I mean, they got a lot of good players there. In that division, they're not going to be number one overall.
I know. We're talking about the Colts right now, and their quarterback, Anthony Richardson, really electrifying, but only played four games last year because he was so hurt and banged up. If he only plays four games this year, and you've played eight games in your first 2 years, do the Colts have to say, sheesh, we might have to actually start looking for a new quarterback, or at least somebody to be a plan B? 855-212-4227. You mentioned about the division. That's not a gimme division anymore. It's no longer a one-horse race in that AFC South.
Right, but there's no San Francisco. There's no 13 or 14-win team, unless Houston's that team, and I don't even know if they are. Win total-wise, They're all good, but they're not great. I mean, they're not going to go 3-14. I just cannot see this Colts team doing that with Shane Steichen. First of all, he's great. I think he's a very good coach.
Yeah,
they have a lot of good linemen. They have, you know, they have now some good defensive players. Like, I think there's a lot of good things going on. Heck, Gardner Minshew basically got them the door of the playoff last year without Anthony Richardson. So there's no tanking. And who are you tanking for? Shador? Shador is older than Anthony Richardson right now.
That's, college is crazy right now. Okay, you are welcome to weigh in, of course, at 855-212-4227. We also have a bunch of polls that you can vote on at Maggie and Pearl on X. If you are the Dallas Cowboys, who are you paying if you can only pick one? Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, or Micah Parsons? Right now, Micah Parsons leading the pack at 55%, CeeDee Lamb 24, Dak Prescott 21. Disagree with those poll results, and you can go vote. Also, our sitcom bracket is down to the final four.
Mm-hmm.
The voting will be open all weekend long. Seinfeld, again, early returns, just running away with this. They're facing MASH, that's two number one seeds, and The Office is a two seed, narrowly edging out Cheers right now. That one much, much closer, 52-48%.
Wow. So there's a lot of voting left. I can't vote. I'm currently boxed out of X, whatever, we won't get into it, got hacked. Seinfeld seems like a strong front runner. But then again, we've seen upsets in the NCAA tournament, so you never know.
We still have a lot of ball game left, so you can go to at Maggie and Pearl and you can vote.
Yep. Is the Office the Villanova of this tournament? I mean, there are two seeds, so I think Vegas would give Seinfeld, if it faced The Office,
I was going to say they have UConn favorite of this tournament.
I mean, honestly,
UConn went back-to-back and dominate. Like,
yeah.
I mean, is Dan Hurley like the new guest star on Seinfeld? This is crazy.
No. But who's The Office? Like, how big of a Cinderella story is this? Not really.
I don't think so.
As a two seed, cannot be a Cinderella.
Totally agree with you. This is going to be a fun one, though. And we're going to do the finals. We'll be on Monday, obviously. We'll open those up. This could just be a walkover for Seinfeld.
Yeah.
Which, I thought Seinfeld was losing steam, quite frankly. But apparently I'm wrong.
Oh, I mean, Seinfeld, when they get into streaming, is a huge factor. I mean,
I feel like Seinfeld has the advantage of being like, it's super popular, and it's the, oh, if you're a smart TV person, you love Seinfeld.
Right.
Like, I feel like a lot of these shows, either it's really popular, or like, therefore, like, they're quote unquote snarks, like, so to speak. Like, I think Seinfeld has both things working for
commercial
them.
Commercial appeal, critical acclaim, kind of a combination of the two.
Exactly.
I mean, I'm looking right now. Seinfeld is currently one of the top three most streamed shows in March of 2024. Like, it's still a huge deal.
I know. I mean, this was a show where 90% of the episodes, no one had a cell phone. And it was just a car phone, I think. This is not new. Seinfeld's been around for a while. Anyway, okay, lots more to do, including things are a little too quiet around this one Super Bowl contender.